today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
The scripture says, be excellent at what is good, be innocent. Actually, the word is naive of evil. He wants you pure. He doesn't want you to worry about all that stuff out there. He wants you to stay on course with him because he's not going to lead you into places where you got to worry about that stuff. His goal, his ambition is to make you Christ-like. There's no greater life. We need to tune in to the right frequency. The Word of God gives us that frequency.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
God's ways are not burdensome. His word is meant for our good. Just like us as parents, we establish rules for our children. And not because we want to restrict or burden them, but because we love them. You see, we've created a standard to live by for their protection. Now, the same is true with God. So why wouldn't we want to live according to His ways? Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, as we join Pastor Troy for part 2 of our message entitled, God Wants to Keep You Safe.
God didn't just warn them because I want you guys to be safe. I love all you guys. There is something very important going on here that God's plan depends upon. And it is the growing up of this child. Because everything is about this child. Everything. It's not about the child and Mary. In fact, the way it says this, arise, take the young child and his mother. It doesn't say, take the young child and Mary, these two very important people. It speaks, take this young child and his mother. I mean, grab the whole family. That's the way it's worded. That's the way it's phrased. Because Jesus has to grow up. God's plan depends upon it. And so God intervenes. You know, God's plan hinges on this child's future. The same way, God's plan hinges upon, for you, whether or not the child is allowed to grow up in you or not. You can develop your skills. You can become more moral. You can say, I'm going to go to church all the time. But if Jesus Christ doesn't get to rule and reign in your life, if He doesn't become more and more preeminent in your life, what God wants to do with you won't happen. God's plan for you rests upon you becoming Christ-like. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, if you want to know the will of God, His plan for you, Romans 8, 29 says, speaking of those who would be His, for whom He foreknew, this is the elect, those who He knew would be His, okay? For whom He foreknew, and we need to read this rest together, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I know that word predestined trips some people, but that's the context. He has predestined a will for you. And that is to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's like if you were to give me a piece of clay, I already have in my mind, I want a bunch of these vessels. So if somebody stumbles upon some clay and says, hey, I've got some clay, I don't have to go, give me some wisdom. You know, what? Look at the clay and let me see. No, I already know. It's predestined. You give me this clay. All right, good. I've got one to do this with. It's predestined. God has a predestined goal for you. And that is to make you more like Christ. Here's a very important point for us. The purpose of God's Word is not to make us more moral, but to make us like Christ. Our morals can be very different. We all have different standards based upon who raised us, what country we're from. But no matter what country you're from, Christ was Christ. And we look to Him to find out what righteousness is, what we are to become. How did He act? What did He do? What was important to Him? What did He say? What did He teach His disciples? We are to become like Christ, not just moral. We're to follow Him. And I want you to look at who God warns. He warns Joseph, not Mary. He tells Joseph, this is what I want you to do. You need to leave. Take your son and your wife and go. Why is that? Because God has established roles in the family. He's supposed to be the accountable one to God. All right, Joseph, they're coming to kill you. I want you to take your family and go. And God entrusted that to Joseph. God wants to do that with the men in their families, to lead you, that you might lead your homes. That's one of the reasons, men, we need to step up. Why is our home in disarray? Because the men are missing. The men aren't stepping up. They're not taking their role and listening to God. It's not that important to them. And if you want a blessed home, then men, you got to get on board. Dads need to lead their homes in righteousness. There was a man who had been in a church for a long time. I know the pastor of this church. He was telling me the story about this man. It was a good family, great family. The problem is the husband and, well, the guy and the woman were not married. They were living together and they had children together. Everything was in order except for marriage. And they said, we don't need a certificate. We love each other. We're committed to each other. And so that was their stand. That was their position. Don't kick someone out of the church for that, but you don't put them in leadership either. And so when the question came up, how do we get involved? How do, you know, I become a leader? How do I do these things? I said, well, you need to consider marriage, because right now you will only confuse people by your life. We can't put you in any kind of leadership role. That's going to prevent you from serving the Lord any further. You can witness. You can be like, you can do what you want. I used to go, when I was very worldly, I would be in the nightclub. That was where I was at the time. And I could sit down and somebody would say something to me and I'd say, no, I believe in Jesus. And I would talk to him about Jesus. Not a good witness, but at that level, you know, I was a little better than him, I guess. I don't know. As we grow, we're not in those places anymore. As we grow, we're not in the same sin anymore. The things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We become more like Him. So, He warns Joseph. Joseph is to lead his family. If you want to become used by God, then becoming more Christ-like has to be a goal of yours. It has to be a fervent desire of yours if you want to be used. What makes a Christian who, by the way, is filled with the Holy Spirit, what makes a Christian different is this new appetite for holiness. Not just morality, holiness. It's this new desire you have. I don't want to just meet the bare minimum. That's what religion requires. I want to meet the bare minimum. I want to follow this and I want to follow this tradition and do these things and that makes me righteous. No, someone who has the Holy Spirit of God in them has an appetite for holiness, purity, gentleness, everything that the Scriptures say is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord if this is going to take place in our lives. His Word is that light. It will help you avoid paths that lead to death and destruction. And look what He's protected from in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who are in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more. Another prophecy fulfilled. A voice was heard because of the deaths in Bethlehem. They would refer to Bethlehem, of Rachel's voice crying out, because it was going towards Bethlehem, near Bethlehem, where Rachel died, Jacob's wife that he loved so much, and she died giving birth to Benjamin. And so it was always identified with Rachel, this place of Bethlehem. Herod lied to the Magi, saying, go and tell me where he's at, because I would like to worship him. And then he orders this mass killing. We can see the depth of depravity in his heart, just this darkness. Now, I don't know what your picture is of what happened in Bethlehem at that time, but let me bring some reality to it, because some think that, man, it was just like this slaughter, blood everywhere, flowing in the streets, and just violence all over the place. There was violence all over the place. There was crying all over the place. But here's some perspective. In Bethlehem at that time, there were only about 1,000 people. It's always been a fairly small, humble place. Given the birth rate, a commentator, a scholar, looked into this and said, given the birth rate, the high rate of infant deaths also, and the number of male versus, you know, not all of them were male children that were born, there would have been about 20 male children that age at that time. So maybe 20 or 30. But can you imagine taking your housing development, maybe something a little bigger, having a group come in, looking for all of the babies that age and killing them? Everyone would be touched. And unlike your housing development, very often we're very disconnected. We're only connected if I got your Facebook. But if you're sitting next to me, forget about it. I don't know you. I don't have anything to say to you. But if you want to chat, you can find me right here. Back then, it wasn't like that. They knew each other. They took long walks. They walked everywhere. They were very well acquainted. They had a better neighborhood watch program than we do, because they actually knew each other, cared. They knew when a stranger came. We don't very often. We don't even know who our neighbor is. This is a very dark man. God's word is a light. But did you know that you have an enemy who is much darker than Herod? Who really doesn't care about you? Who wants to destroy you any way he can. He'll drag you through the mud any way he can. He wants to take you down. He wants to get your eyes off of Christ, off of the light, out of the Word of God, and onto anything else. Anything. Whether it looks good, whether it's culturally acceptable, whatever the case, he wants to take you down. He's been around a long time. He knows how to do this. He attacks where we're weak, and we all have a weakness. For some, it's their temper. For others, it's pride, insecurity. He wants to attack. He wants to hammer you and get you away from the Lord. In Herod, we see the influence of Satan, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. God's word is a light, but we have an enemy who wants to take us down dark paths. And what I mean by dark paths is you don't see ahead of you. Have you walked on a dark path before? Where you can only see, maybe you can see a little bit. I do this at night sometimes. And I'm walking, and I know we have chairs. I don't want to hit them. If you ever hit one with your toe, you know that's not a good thing. So you're kind of walking, and you're walking really slowly. Well, Satan wants you walking like that. He wants you walking where you don't see the boogeyman around the corner. The addiction that's to come. The habit that'll be developed. And the slow drifting process away from everything that is right and righteous and pure and holy and true. He does it with every culture. He wants to do it with every person and even the church itself. And I think he does a very, very good job. But God's word is that light. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 say, but if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Satan wants to lure you onto a course with things that seem harmless. They don't seem bad. Maybe they're not God's ideal for you. You know that, but it's not bad. I wouldn't call it sin. So Satan says, yeah, it's not sin. Oh, like the garden, right? Did God really say don't eat of this? Come on. It's not bad. It's not a sin. And yet it's not what God wants, because it begins this journey on a wrong course. But then Satan wants to do more than lure you. He wants to hook you. We know about drugs. We know about their addictive nature. But I want to tell you about something that has been called, and studies have shown, is more addictive than any drug. And that is pornography. Pornography, men and women are involved in it now. It's not just a man's thing. Is more addictive. You can take a drug away from someone. You can strap them down and force them to stay away, but you cannot take images away from a person's mind. And here's the worst thing about the nature of pornography. For a drug, you need more and more of that drug to sustain that addiction. You need more of it. Pornography doesn't work the same way. Pornography still acts like a drug. It excites the brain, stimulates certain portions of the brain, which is why there's this addiction, this draw to it, makes it so difficult to give up. But more than that, here's what pornography does. More of the same type of pornography doesn't do it for you. To continue to sustain that addiction, you have to venture into different types of pornography. And so you go from the normal pornography, and now the normal heterosexual pornography is, that's not so bad. That stuff, now that's depraved. When you're into that stuff, this stuff's normal, this stuff's natural. But then that's not enough, because then you start to drift. You go, this isn't enough. Well, what does it look like for that? And it draws you. And one of the lowest places that a person can go is into that area of child pornography. We wonder, how do they get there? I can't tell you. I've talked to so many people who are in very, very, very low places, only to hear the same thing. I don't know how I got here. It wasn't like I just said, I want to do that. I don't know how I got here. I will tell you, we have an enemy who is luring us slowly, methodically. He's as patient as can be. He's not going to die, not until the very end. He's going to outlive you. So he'll wait long enough. We cannot afford to let him have that foothold. We must keep our minds on what the Scripture says. Whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's noble. Not what is okay, not what's morally acceptable, but what does God want? What will make me more like Christ? Because that's what the Word of God teaches us. So God directs them, so they can avoid the slaughter of the enemy. In verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. They actually started in Nazareth, if you remember. They started in Nazareth, and then they went down for the census to Bethlehem, where in the manger. And then they were in a house. Remember, the wise men didn't go to the manger. They went to the house much later. And then they flee from the house, and then they end up, they're going to go back to Bethlehem, but they go to Nazareth again. God knows all of this, and so he can actually state the beginning from the end from the beginning. It's all the same to him. He knows the outcome. He knows the outcome of your life. He knows whether you're going to choose him or not. He knows if you love him or if you don't. We can't fool God. God wants to lead us in victory, but it seems that we're very often willing to accept defeat. the course that I'm comfortable with. Not that upward call in Christ Jesus. Right? The Scriptures tell us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. God wants to keep you safe. You know, I value my children's purity. I value it. As a dad, if you have children, especially when they're younger, I mean, before anything comes upon them that defiles them, you have this protectiveness about you. I want to protect them from you. Your daughters, especially, your daughters grow up and you go, let's not talk about marriage. Hey, we'd like to marry our son to your daughter. Boy, your daughter's a... Don't talk to me about that. So I don't even want to think about it. Yes, he's a good kid, but uh-uh. Not going to happen. I'm praying for the rapture. Many a father has prayed for the rapture before their daughter has to get married. But, except for grandchildren, right? Some of them are like, but I want the grandchildren. Rapturous before she's married, but give us grandchildren somehow without her having to have them. Like, Mary had the virgin birth. Can we just have a non-person birth? Just have the grandchildren. Just pop up there. We don't even need a person for that. Now, we want the best of everything without the pain and suffering, right? But God wants to keep you safe. One time, we were in Houston, Texas, and my children are innocent. Pure. There's nothing wrong with being naive. The Scripture says, be excellent at what is good, be innocent. Actually, the word is naive of evil. He wants you pure. He doesn't want you to worry about all that stuff out there. He wants you to stay on course with Him because He's not going to lead you into places where you got to worry about that stuff. His goal, His ambition is to make you Christ-like. There's no greater life. We need to tune in to the right frequency. The Word of God gives us that frequency. Right now, there are radio frequencies going on in here. If you were to tune in with the right receiver, you would actually be able to pick up, and though you can't see them, you'd be able to pick up the right frequency and hear different kinds of music. We could all listen to different kinds of music in here, even television. There's wireless internet. I mean, there's everything going on right here. We can't see it, though. In the same way, God has a battle going on for you, for your life, for your soul, for your mind, your heart. You can't see it, but it's there. It's real. And if you will begin to learn to tune into the right frequency, tuning out everything else and let God speak to you, you will begin to hear the voice of God. And let me read Psalm 121 to tell you why this is important. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From who does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God wants to protect you. Will you let Him? Will you tune in and listen to what God wants to say to you? Not what I'm saying. Go read your Bible. Let God speak to your heart. I believe He'll do that. I'm praying that God will do that with all of you. But as we're growing, we're looking to people to help lead, people who love others, people who have gifts, callings. And I'm praying that God will start to raise up individuals now to come alongside and build a bigger foundation right now in this ministry. I still believe God's building a foundation. If you tune in and God starts speaking to your heart, listen, follow Him. Don't miss out.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.